y'all, welcome back for another episode of the Inner Beauty Reigns podcast. This is your fearless host, Erica Anderson, and today we are going to talk about 7 tips on personal power. So if you've been following me for any length of time, you know that the focal point of Inner Beauty Reigns is to teach you how to make your inner beauty reign through understanding your human design and leveraging your personal power. What does that mean? That means that you are in a space where you have learned how to walk out your personal power in life through understanding who you were designed to be and understanding your human design. This allows you to live in a flow that gets you more results, that makes you more productive, that allows you to be more efficient. It sharpens your discernment so you can easily tell what opportunities are best for you and which opportunities you should pass over, or what connections you should make. People, whether it's business opportunities, romantic relationships, friendships, navigating family relationships, all of those things and even more. So today, what I want to focus on is these tips that I have been able to put together, and these are kind of the foundation to personal power. Now, if you were following me last year around this time, March, April, May, I did a series of personal power webinars where I talked about different elements of personal power, from understanding your personal power. And then we went a little deeper and talked about personal power and control, manipulation, understanding how to navigate relationships with people who often do power plays, and even going into understanding how to walk in your personal power as an individual as it relates to religion and spirituality, because a lot of people, especially in the Christian community, have been given certain information for so long that there's this conditioning where people don't believe that they can make a move or do anything in their lives without consulting God. And reality is, God doesn't care what color shirt you wear today. God is more concerned about whether you're walking out your purpose and doing the things that you were called to do. If you're being a decent person when you go out to this world, and how you love and treat other people. So anyway, we're going to dive right in right after this break. Okay, so I like to call or define personal power as the rudder to this boat called life, because it literally steers you in whatever direction that your decisions are taking you. So your personal power is your ability to make decisions, and they guide and direct your life. If you think about it, where you are today is a culmination of the decisions that you have made in your life. So if you're a parent, obviously the path that you took allows you to have children. Or if you are an entrepreneur, the opportunities that you have executed or participated in have allowed you to get to where you are as an entrepreneur. Or if you have a certain position in your corporate job, the series of decisions that you made, whether it was decisions on personal growth or connecting with people, all sorts of things drive the decisions that allow us to get to where we are in life. So, of course, there are a lot of different ways that you can tap into your personal power. So the goal is to get to a place where you are consciously and intentionally walking in your personal power, meaning you are consciously and intentionally assessing your life, what's happening, taking note of what you like, what you don't like, and then making your decisions based on what you are seeing or not seeing. So these tips that I'm about to share are things that will help you to not only get a foundation to walking in your personal power, but they will also help you to build upon a foundation if you've already pretty much kind of gotten yourself to a space in your life where you're pretty confident in your ability to make decisions. So the first tip that I'm going to share is identifying your goals and your values. You have to know what you want out of life, and you have to know what you stand for. You have to know what your standards are. You have to know what you're willing to tolerate, what you're not willing to tolerate, in order to stay focused and motivated. In thinking about this thing in particular, there is a situation that happened back in 2016. I was working a corporate job, and there was a situation that transpired that made me realize that this company, the management, upper management within this company, didn't share the same values that I have. And I realized that that was a deal breaker for me. And it was a very interesting scenario to experience, because this put me in a place where I had to reassess whether or not I wanted to work at this job. At that time, I was a single mom of one, and the thought of quitting a quote-unquote good job was absolutely terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying, because I wanted, on a personal level, to make sure that I was not doing anything to disrupt the opportunities I had to bring income into my home so that obviously I can take care of myself and my daughter. However, it was also a moment where some things came together for me internally. So number one, I acknowledged that my skills and my abilities, they belong to me. So that was a part of my personal power journey that really got me to where I am today. I learned to own my skills as a result of that situation. And I decided that if I could do what I'm doing for this company, and it has brought me up through the ranks. I mean, I went from doing data entry to becoming a group manager at that company. I decided that I could take my skills and work for myself and work my way up through life. Now, of course, it didn't quite happen the same way once I went into full-time entrepreneurship. However, I did see massive growth in my editing business and learning how to, first of all, provide excellent customer service is hands down what I can say was a part of the foundation to the success in my editing business. But ultimately, taking that opportunity to reassess whether or not I wanted to work for that company sparked this thought process that allowed me to embrace something that was important to that next season of my life. Another thing that this particular tip like manifested in my life at that time was the ability to stay focused and motivated. So realizing that I own my skills and allowing myself to move on from that job, there was a different level of focus and motivation in making that move, because not only did I have to make things happen for myself because I was working for myself, but there was this element of, or not even just an element, but there was this boost in self-confidence that allowed me to coast through that next season. I was coasting on the knowledge that I'm great at what I do as a writer. I'm great at what I do as an editor. My clients believe in me. So that catapulted me into just a whole new realm of self-confidence, self-worth. Like, it really built on my foundation that I already had. So the second tip that I want to share is to find your inner strength, okay? You have to spend some time reflecting. You have to meditate, journaling, whatever your spiritual practices are. You have to become more intentional in those things, because they help you to tap into your inner strength. It helps you to discover what makes you unique. And it also, as I mentioned with the last tip, gives you confidence to pursue your goals. Because here's the thing about inner strength. Sometimes when we experience life situations, that inner strength rises up and we don't necessarily do anything to tap into it, because it's a natural response to something that we're experiencing. But there will always be times when we go through situations where we have to literally find the strength to carry on. We have to find the strength to manage situations or to continue. There was an element of me having to find the strength to get through the final phase of being at that job that I talked about, because I was no longer motivated to be there. So I had to tap into the strength that I had to get up and go every day and keep a positive attitude and not complain and to still get my work done. And there even came a point where I realized, and this ties into inner strength, because there's this realization that I got that not only was I not motivated to do my job, but I was becoming unproductive. And my inner strength allowed me to assess what was happening and make a decision to say, okay, I really have to like put in my notice. It took a lot of strength to do that, because between, like I said, that notion of I need to be able to take care of myself and my family, but they're in the aftermath of putting in a resignation, dealing with people who are sad, like genuinely sad that you're going to leave. You know, there's real energy that you put out when you connect to people emotionally. And it can be draining sometimes in leaving places, because you have people who, like, they're literally pulling on you. They're pulling on your strength. So that piece of it made it kind of difficult to but at the end of the day, tapping into my inner strength helped me to have the motivation necessary, the confidence necessary to put in that notice and to know that I would be okay moving forward. So for number three, now this one, it's one that requires you to dig a little bit, but that is taking responsibility for your actions. Okay, we're not waiting for other people to take action, because when we know what we're supposed to be doing, we have an obligation to handle those responsibilities. We have to take ownership of the decisions that we make, of our ability to exercise or execute personal power. And that self-accountability, I have had just so many moments in life where I was connected to people, and they would make statements where they wanted to be held accountable, but when it came time to execute, they didn't want to execute. And self-accountability is where you have to become your own best friend. And when you recognize that you're not where you're supposed to be, or you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you have firsthand knowledge of what that is, what you're supposed to be doing, or where you're supposed to be, or whatever the situation is. So it's up to you to say to yourself, hey, come on, let's get it back together. And I even find myself sometimes, because I have two children now, so I'm constantly guiding and directing and helping them to understand what they're supposed to be doing, what they're not supposed to be doing. And then because I have a toddler and a teenager, two kids who are in two completely different stages of development, there's always kind of this, like there's always this need to be aware of what I'm telling each kid, because I can't expect the toddler to have the emotional intelligence that the teenager has, and vice versa. Sometimes I have to explain to the teenager, I expect better from you because you're not three. You're not a toddler. So that self-accountability that I'm teaching her helps her to have a life skill that when she becomes an adult and goes out into the world, she's already had some practice with exercising that. So I want to encourage you. Sometimes you have to, in reminding yourself of what you're supposed to be doing, or if you're getting off track, sometimes you have to take it to that level of, hey, you got to get it back together. and holding yourself accountable. But on the other hand, being intentional about hearing the people who are close to you or your mentors or the people who are helping to guide you through life, making sure that you're not just hearing what they tell you when it comes to you being accountable, but also executing, because we can hear things and we can have these things in our minds, but it just becomes an idea or a thought until it's actually executed. So, personal power tip number 4, develop a positive attitude. Number 1, this changes how you perceive the world around you. And my favorite thing that I have adopted in my personal development journey is doing my best to see the silver lining in everything. When I lose relationships with people, not that it happens that often, but when I do, I always look at the lessons that I learned, the good memories, the things that were good, and I look at the challenges and the bad and do my best to improve so that moving forward, I develop better relationships or I do my best to relate better to people so that I'm improving. That's just how I like to live my life. I like to be continuously improving what's going on in my life. But beyond that, looking for the silver lining in the various situations that happen in life allow you to manage emotions like sadness and grief more effectively, because you shift your focus from the thing that's sad or the thing that doesn't make you feel good or the thing that is difficult to work through. And it allows you to have a moment of peace within whatever it is that you are dealing with, whatever loss you're dealing with. So just be intentional about developing a positive attitude. And this doesn't mean that you can never feel negative or feel, you know, down in the dumps or any of those things. What it means is that when you have situations that take you there, because I do believe it's important to allow yourself to feel what comes up for you. All of your feelings are valid. At the end of the day, though, it's important for you to allow yourself to feel those things and then find the bridge between what you're feeling and getting back to that place of positivity. So the next tip on personal power that I like to share is the importance of setting boundaries. Now, I believe that boundaries is one of the most effective ways of walking in your personal power, because your personal power is about you making decisions that affect your life, your livelihood. And so when you set boundaries, especially when you establish healthy boundaries with both yourself and other people, it allows you to protect your energy, and it also makes sure that you aren't being taken advantage of. So no matter what that situation is, and I'll just stick with the example that I started with this job, there was this moment that I had in realizing that I didn't share the same values as, you know, upper management at that time. I realized that I was put in a certain position within a predicament to manage something that should have been managed by my manager. And it wasn't a situation where I was being challenged to see if I would handle it appropriately. It was a responsibility that was deflected so that the people who actually caused the issue that was at hand didn't want to be held accountable. And I'll never forget how awkward it was having to answer hard questions to a company or, you know, a client basically. And it was very challenging because the truth of the situation was something that was contrary to what they had been informed before I was thrown into that meeting. And so it made me realize that, in a sense, I was taken advantage of, because Everybody knew that I was good with words, and everybody knew that I was quick on my feet. And it was a situation where I felt like I was thrown into this conversation with a client to clean it up, but it was not the right thing to do. And so the boundary that I set was really just, I no longer am going to allow myself to work for this company. You have pretty much messed up any opportunity for me to keep my skills and abilities here. And I have no regrets because I set that boundary for myself, and it allowed me to move on with my life and for me to explore other things. And so here I am, what is this, 7 years later almost, and I'm thriving and I am doing better and better at setting boundaries, because it's a continuous process that you have. You always encounter situations where you may need to set some boundaries. And so, as I said, when you set healthy boundaries, not even just with others, setting those boundaries with yourself. And I think sometimes we skip over how those boundaries can apply in our lives. It's not just about protecting your home, protecting who you allow into your home, or who has the key to your house, or who has access to your children. Sometimes the boundaries we need to set with ourselves are, how much do I need to eat if I'm in a scenario where it's an all-you-can-eat buffet? Or how many of these Girl Scout cookies should I eat? Setting those healthy boundaries with the small things in life help you to not only have a better quality of life, because when you're watching what you eat, you know, obviously there's nothing wrong with having sweets if that's your thing. But it's one thing to have 4 or 5 Girl Scout cookies. It's a whole other thing to eat the whole sleeve. Now, I'll be the first to tell on myself. I've definitely eaten an entire sleeve of Girl Scout cookies before. So if you've done it, I'm with you. I am right here with you. However, self-discipline and understanding those boundaries that you need to set within yourself teach you the importance of, or help you to have that healthy boundary where it's, I'm not going to eat beyond what I know I need to eat, because whether it's you want to maintain your weight or you want to reduce the amount of sweets that you're having, you know, that's not necessarily about reducing or maintaining your weight. That's just about moderation. You know, just being intentional about recognizing where you can set healthy boundaries in the small things so that you can get to a level within the bigger boundaries that it's easier for you to recognize where and how you need to set those boundaries. All right, so number 6 is taking action. Execution is key. It doesn't matter how many ideas you have. It doesn't matter how much you write down or any of those things. At the end of the day, you are not executing, okay, nothing is going to happen. I remember years ago listening to a sermon by T.D. Jakes, and it was a very life-changing sermon because I was in the midst of making some very difficult decisions. But ultimately, what happened was I listened to this sermon, and he talked about the danger in not moving forward. And he talked about how the Bible refers to God as the living water. And T.D. Jakes talked about the different water sources that we have here on this earth, and how the best sources of water are flowing water. The best sources of water are sources that are moving. You don't want lake water unless it's been cleaned. You typically don't want to drink ocean water either. But the point here is that when you have standing water, it's a breeding ground for disease. It's a breeding ground for things like mosquitoes and things that aren't positive and good. So when we look at moving forward and the need to be executing, If you find yourself stagnant, if you find yourself stuck, these are the first signs of there needing to be some assessment done so that you as an individual can get to where you need to go. And that's going to require execution. Take your ideas and make sure that you are creating a vision for not just the final outcome with your idea, but the action plan that it's going to take for that idea to become a reality. And the other piece of this is there being consistency and the need to just be deliberate in taking those actions, because it's not enough for you to say you want to write a book and then you go write, you know, a chapter today and then you don't touch it again until next year. When are you going to finish your book if you don't set a timeline and say, hey, this is when I want to publish the book. This is how much I'm going to write daily, or this is how much I'm going to write weekly. This is the time that I'm going to set aside to make it happen. You know, like, you have to get very specific in your action plan because you want to leave yourself no room for error. You want to leave yourself no room for excuses. And reality is, errors are going to happen. Sometimes, you know, you might hire somebody to write for you and things don't work out well. You got to pick up the pieces and keep it moving. And that takes me back to the importance of having a positive attitude, because things aren't always going to go the way we want them to. We can have a vision, but sometimes the path to the manifestation of that vision, there are going to be bumps in the road. There are going to be peaks and there are going to be valleys. And when we learn how to accept the peaks and the valleys, it doesn't necessarily make it easier, but having that knowledge that the valley is the valley helps you to have a better foundation for navigating that. Having that inner strength gives you a good foundation for being able to get through those things. So anyway, the last tip that I'm going to share on personal power is the importance of celebrating your successes. Okay, you have to be willing to acknowledge your progress, and you can't be afraid to give yourself a pat on the back when you've done well. Okay, when I left that job in 2016, as scary as it was, that following weekend, I was on the beach in Florida and I just looked around and I was, oh man, I'll never forget that feeling. I was so proud of myself, but I was also at peace because I let go of something that wasn't serving me. And I was able to celebrate the transition. And it was not even just, you know, a transition, but it was a transition that led to success in different areas of my life that I didn't foresee. And another thing that I just realized is, you know, during that time frame when I went into full-time entrepreneurship, that was when I published my first book. That was a success within itself, because I had created my vision. I knew what I wanted to do. I knew how I wanted to do it. I knew what I wanted my book to say. And as I got through the process of writing that book, I think it took me, when I got intentional about writing that book, it took me a little bit less than 9 months to write that book. And I actually could have written it much quicker, but there was a healing process that I was experiencing. So it, you know, it took a little more time. But one of the things that happened during that process is I prayed and said that I wanted my readers to experience the same level of healing or even greater that I was experiencing in writing that book. So it was such an incredible thing to experience and the success in that, it's still having a ripple effect across not only my platforms, but now in doing the group coaching and, you know, doing the human design and all of those things, it is literally allowing people to change their lives, change the trajectory of their lives, because they know how to execute these different elements of personal power to get the results that they're seeking in life. So with that, thank you for listening to these tips on personal power. Part of the foundation to personal power is understanding who you are as an individual. And so human design is a system that allows you to understand more about yourself. The way I like to explain it is that what you know about yourself is the tip of the iceberg, and human design shows you what's beneath the surface. So just for being a loyal listener today, if you book a human design reading, you will get a 30% discount. All you have to do is enter the coupon code REIGN, REIGN, and you will receive 30% off your reading. So make sure you go to the website, book your reading. You can do a basic reading where I just send you a recording of your human design reading, or you can do a face-to-face, we can do a Zoom call, and we can get a little bit more in depth. Or you can do the human design VIP package. This is where we go through not only your human design type strategy, all of those different things, but we also actually map out a plan and we check in with one another over a period of time to make sure that you are going in the direction that you truly want to go. So again, 30% off your human design reading or your human design package. Enter coupon code REIGN on the website and let's get it going, okay? You deserve to walk in your personal power because you deserve to live your best life, whatever you determine that to be. Thank you again for listening, and I will talk to y'all again soon.